here.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. My special guests tonight are Mark and his mother, Donna Taylor. And you guys may need to sit down when you listen to these people and their story. If you've listened to Dr. Fred Bell, Mark has been on his show a few times, and it's an important message, and we're going to get a little bit serious here tonight. As always, callers are welcome. Call-in numbers for the U.S. are 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-815-9756. And direct line is 530-876-3222. And as always, we have the quick chat available. Just click on BBS Fast Chat under the Station 1, Station 2 calling numbers there, and I will try to refresh soon enough that I can catch everybody's questions. So, with that out of the way, welcome to the show, Mark and Donna. How are you?
Great.
We haven't really had a chance to talk about everything. I kind of talked with Dr. Bell about it a little bit. So, if you would just kind of enlighten the audience as to who you are and kind of what you came to talk about, that would help.
Well, I was shot in the Columbine High School massacre, and what I do is I go across country and I speak in at various different churches on forgiveness and healing, and that going through a tragedy, a big part of the healing process is forgiving your enemies and forgiving those who hurt you.
Yeah.
And
how long did it take you to get to that point?
Well, shortly after I was shot in the hospital, my godmother had come up to me when I was in a trauma room, and she was reading scriptures on healing and forgiveness and how we have to forgive our enemies and those who hurt us. And I think that her reading the Bible scriptures to me while I was in the hospital was probably what got me through it. Besides all the medications and all the surgeries, I think the one thing that got me through it was God and reading the Bible, and because I was going through so much emotionally.
I bet. The guy that shot you was one of your friends, wasn't he? Did I hear that right?
No. No, he wasn't a friend of mine. He was a friend of my cousin.
Ah.
But I was only there for 3 weeks before the whole shooting happened.
Oh, wow.
I had transferred in from a Christian school and had gone there because I just heard such great recommendations about school and its high academia and how every kid in the Littleton area and probably Colorado area wanted to be at Columbine. Because he had such great teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to go there. And I was only there 3 weeks before it happened, and it's impacted my life.
I would guess so. You mentioned that you've written a little booklet about that.
Yeah.
Now, what's the title of your booklet?
I Asked, God Answered. A Columbine Miracle.
Mm-hmm. What do you cover in that book? What actually happened that would make you come up with that title?
Because I asked God to spare my life.
Ah.
And he answered.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's simple.
And that day when I got shot, I received the gift of tongues. When I was in the ambulance, I started speaking the tongue language, and the ambulance couldn't understand what I was saying. What language is he talking? What language is he speaking? I was actually praying to God that God would save my life and that he would spare me.
Hmm.
And that I would go on and do ministry and help other victims and anyone who else who has been through a tragedy in their life, which most of us have had something, some sort of abuse or something in their past.
Yeah, and, I would agree.
And that's why I like to help others.
That's an amazing thing, to go through an experience like that.
Yeah.
And to actually be speaking in tongues, you know, as you're being taken to the hospital.
When you're dying on the ground. You know, things happen. You know, you become, you know, you're willing to do anything. When you're on your last dying breath, and you know that you only have a few seconds left, you know, Bob.
That would tend to kind of make an impression on you.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, too, because I've had many near-death experiences myself. Did you have more than that instant? In other words, did you go into a complete near-death experience, or were you just praying and it was answered and you were saved?
Oh, no. I seriously thought that it was my last day on Earth. I'd never been through anything like this. It took the cops so long to get me. It took them so long to get me to the hospital. Then they get me to the hospital. Then they get me into the surgery room. They're sitting there staring at me. The doctors are. They got me naked. You know, you're humiliated because you got doctors sitting there staring at you naked. And actually, when I was in the surgery room, I had told the nurse that if I died, to tell my parents that I love them, because they were getting ready to put me under surgery. And at that time, I didn't think I was going to make it. The nurse couldn't get a hold of my parents. They didn't know where they were. And so I actually told her to write down on a piece of napkin that I love my parents. And she actually wrote it down on a napkin. And here I am. I didn't think I was going to make it through it. But, I went through so much in a hospital. And that's why I absolutely hate guns. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't think anybody should have one. I think we live in America and everybody should have a right to bear arms. But after being shot by a weapon and knowing what it's like being shot by one and how your life can just be taken away from you in a flash of a second, everything that you've ever had, your whole entire life can be taken away from you in just 10 seconds. With one flick of a finger, it can be taken away from you. And, you know, when I got shot, I didn't value life that much. You know, I was young, rebellious. You know, I didn't have much of a life, you know. I didn't have much clothes. I wasn't the pampered one. My sister was. And it was right when I got shot, I began to realize how much I really valued life. It's right when you're on the edge of death that you realize how much you really love your loved ones, how much you really cherish breathing fresh air, how much you really, how much you really precious life. Love life. And I think the experience that I went through, I think God put me through it for a reason.
Yeah, to kind of remind you.
Yeah.
You know, Mark, it's like Oprah talks about, you know, you can either get it when a little rock falls on your head, you can get it when a brick falls on your head, or you can get it when the entire brick wall falls on you.
Yeah.
Sometimes I know that the spirit that we call God talks to us all the time and watches over us all the time and tries to kind of get through and make an impression on us. And so many people are not paying any attention at all.
Yeah.
These kinds of things happen. you know, what I'd like to ask you is, did you have any inkling at all that maybe you didn't want to go to school that day, or maybe you didn't want to be in that place where you were? Did you have any kind of a warning at all?
No, it seemed like a regular day. The only thing that I felt that was unnormal is I went to gym class, and half of the school population, half my gym class was cut down. Mm-hmm. And that was the only thing that was weird. They were saying over 1,500 kids did not show up to school, and there were 3,000 kids there. And,
wow.
1,500 kids didn't show up to school that day because they were tipped off that it was senior prank day. And and so I didn't know, I didn't catch on to it, senior prank day, that it would turn out to be a shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, it seems to me that was one of those things you were supposed to go through. Because if you're not, you know, you get plenty of hints about it. The question is, you know, do you pay attention? And usually, if you weren't supposed to be there, and you just didn't pay attention, then usually people will remember afterwards, oh, yeah, you know, I felt like I shouldn't go there. You know, we all have these little intuitional things. If you had no warning at all, then that would make me think that you were supposed to be there for this very reason. Because you got into that situation, you felt what it was like, you really begged and pleaded for your life to the Creator. It made you appreciate life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now you're out there doing all of this good. Sounds to me like that was pretty well planned by the Creator.
Yeah.
Kind of a sucky way to have to get you into it, though.
Yeah. Well, I could be dead. You know, like Rachel Scott, she was only 10 feet from me, and she got killed.
Yeah.
And the police officer that saved my life was ordered by his superior not to go in the area that I was in. And he was a Christian, and he felt that God, the Holy Spirit, was telling him to disobey his commander's authority and go in the area that I was in. And because he did that, he saved my life. If it weren't for him and being a Christian and knowing the Holy Spirit, doing what God told him to do, that I would be dead right now. Like some of those other kids, which officers were not ordered not to go in the area, and many of them died. And
interesting in that that difference, you know, and it's like I've always said, you know, the greatest job of a healer of any kind is to listen and not hesitate. So what
yeah.
that cop did was he listened and he didn't hesitate. And because of that, you're alive and you're doing a mission.
Yeah.
It's pretty powerful stuff, don't you think?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, a lot of times I think to myself, why did God spare me and not Rachel Scott? Someone like her who had an amazing testimony, you know. And,
well, maybe she was done. You know, I mean, when we're done, we leave.
Yeah, well, she didn't have a chance, so they cornered her into the corner. They didn't give her a chance. I mean, I saw the whole thing. They were shooting bullets at her, several of them. I saw the bullets ricochet off the cement, off the wall. I mean, they sat there for at least 2-3 minutes, and they unloaded every bit of ammo that they could on her to make sure that she was dead. And so,
or how they did role playing at that school.
What'd she say?
My mom wanted to talk about how they did role playing at that school.
Death classes.
Huh?
And death classes.
Morgue, you go to the morgue and see people in caskets and stuff.
They had a class there. It was a literature class where we had read a book on where we would role play out different, like, death things, like a graveyard, and we had to play dead.
Wow.
And,
this is before or after?
That's bizarre.
Before it happened.
That is
and,
totally bizarre.
That's what was in your history book.
It's just, I'm not going to even go into what it was like at that school. You know, do that kids watch MTV while we're in the classroom.
So that's a good brainwashing tool. You know, when I was talking to him, he said that you had a lot to say about the pharmaceuticals that the kids were on.
Right. They were on.
Oh, the drug pushers came right into the school after that happened.
They
saw the opportunity for that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
they got a lot of our family members on the drugs.
Yeah, your mom and a lot of your family members were on the drugs. And let's clarify what those are. Can you name some of the drugs that they're on?
My family members?
Yeah, and the other people that you know about.
Well, they're SSRI, serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Uh-huh.
And Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were both on them. And I believe they were part of a tool that caused them, not the full tool, but part of a tool which caused them to do this school shooting, because Eric Harris had reported to his psychiatrist he was having suicidal thoughts from the medications that he was on. And that's why I sued Solvay Pharmaceuticals and got into the discovery room. And,
And it's kind of unusual, because most of the time, especially on Prozac, if you take somebody off of it, that's when they get violent.
No.
When they're going through withdrawals.
Yeah.
Because they're very very addictive drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They're the closest thing to LSD.
You know who Dr. Ann Tracy is?
Yes.
Well, you know she has a book on tapes on how to come off those. So you want to take the pill and just sliver a little bit off of it each time. That way your body gets used to eating less at a time of it. That way you get used to it. But these drugs...
Yeah, it takes quite a while.
It could take a while. And, these drugs stay in your system for up to 5 years. And
the major
even
effects
after you,
are a month.
Oh, no,
they stay in your system for up to 5 years.
Yeah.
And, some of these people have been on these drugs for years and years and years and years. And it's so hard to get them out of your system. I mean, they're showing on TV. They had scientists actually go into our water system and get antidepressants out of our system, because what happens is people get, they take these pills and then they pee it out into the water, and what happens is the government recycles the water. And the scientists were saying that they can't even get these drugs out of the water. That's how bad they are. And so when we drink water out of the faucet, we might be getting some serotonin, some chemicals from antidepressants in us every time.
Yeah, and you know, Dr. Bell calls serotonin the death hormone.
Oh, yeah, they're...
Yeah, because it happens, you know, before you are going to die, basically. And, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous, all this stuff. I am absolutely against all of these things.
Some doctors call Prozac the pollution pill, because it's got the same chemical element that we find in air pollution, hydrochloride. And it's right in Prozac. And so, you know, it's like when you take those pills, you're getting a little bit of air pollution in you.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I've taken a lot of people off of these things, and I have to take a month to take people off, because if I give them anything natural during that time, it can kill them. And, you know, that's pretty serious stuff. But all the natural stuff is what they call monoamine oxidase inhibitors. That's like first-generation tranquilizers and anti-anxiety drugs and things like that.
Yeah.
The third and the fourth-generation stuff is so lethal when combined with the natural stuff that it really is a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever I get somebody that's on, like, three or four of those things, they're usually on drugs that they should not be combining.
Yeah.
And yet they're going to a psychiatrist and they're coming back with all these combinations.
Well, we're such a death culture as well. Like, we, violence on TV, like, when the whole shooting at Columbine happened, President Clinton went on TV saying that our children should not use weapons as their answer, but we should use words to resolve our problems. He went on TV saying that, and at the same time he said that we as a nation were bombing Yugoslavia.
Uh-huh.
And that's right when the Columbine shooting happened.
Uh-huh.
And, you know...
We need to get something straight
out here,
huh?
What'd she say?
Yeah. Yeah, we were... I think it's also evolution as well. Kids being taught evolution from a young age.
Well, yeah, they're being desensitized.
We were taught that we have evolved from nothing else than a monkey. And how kids should be taught that they are precious creatures from God. Precious and unique. He created each one of us unique. We are not highly evolved animals. We are not monkeys. And if you teach a kid that for 100 years or for 20 years when they're in high school, they're going to act like monkeys because they're not going to feel that they're precious from God, and they need to be taught that they're precious from God.
Each life is unique,
and God created us out of his own image.
Well, like I've said to many people, including my 87-year-old mother, you know, we're all created from God's substance, and if God is everything and everywhere, then it can't be anything but that. So when you see these kinds of things happening and you know that there are these prescription drugs involved, then you know that there's something that's really gone haywire in our system.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are so many allergens and, you know, we're reacting to all of these things. I mean, I've seen kids turn into demons right on camera with one molecule of the substance that they're allergic to.
Yeah.
Just one. And I've seen teachers fall asleep with one molecule of a substance from the air. So there's all these things that everybody is allergic to, and, you know, better living through chemistry hasn't happened, you know?
Yeah.
Now there's 157 million people on these.
Well, everything we eat, too. Like Dr. Yeah. Candace Burke, do you know who she is?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Yeah, she was writing her book about sugar. She was saying that she did a study on sugar, saying that sugar is about the same as cocaine on the system. And if the real science were to be shown before the FDA, that they would take it off the market immediately.
Well, the FDA is not going to take anything off the market. You know, they have to have proven that they can kill at least 100,000 people or more when you're talking a pharmaceutical. When you're talking about a natural substance, they'll take it off when there's no proof whatsoever that it's harmful.
So yeah.
You have to look at that and realize that it's a plot, you know? And if you don't realize it's a plot, it's because you're not looking. So when I look at these kinds of things, and like when the kid went crazy down at Virginia Tech, same thing. It was really obvious to a lot of us that kid was mind-controlled, and it was true.
Yeah, he was on antidepressants.
Yeah.
And they won't look at the medical records. They won't allow anybody.
They won't show anyone like any of the medical records on him.
No,
and
of course.
Same with Columbine. Dr. Tracy called his parents and found that out, that he was on medications. Yeah. And there was a couple of shows that had been aired on TV saying that the parents absolutely hated their son and that he was just like them. And that's not true. His family, when they found out that their son had died, when they went in the house, they literally fainted on the ground. And the media just misled a lot of people about that. And,
yeah, and I presume that the media probably misled a lot of people about the whole Columbine thing, too. I don't know for sure because I didn't pay that much close attention to it. But you know, you were part of that. And so, you know, being part of it, I don't know if you were aware enough while you were going through your surgeries and stuff. I mean, there must have been some kind of odd things happening afterwards, too. Hello? Mark? Uh-oh. I think we lost our feed there.
holding on to my mistakes, impatient at how long things take.
Okay, we're back with Mark Taylor. We had a little interruption there, and that's been happening a lot. You know, Mark, since I started talking with your mom a couple weeks ago, every time we tried to talk, there was so much interference on the phone, and it kept going dead, and the same thing since you guys have been out, you know, in a different state, which I think is really interesting, and having talked with a lot of the conspiracy people, you know, about what's really going on in the government and such, it's like, you know, you just kind of sit there and laugh. You know?
Yeah.
You know, you know darn well that you're being interfered with.
Hey, share with your pastor.
Hey, my pastor, do you want to say something?
Drake?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm sorry to butt in, but this is Pastor Wiley Drake, and we're here at the church where they're staying with us now, and it becomes silly almost every day, and we have some very sophisticated phone systems, and yet we get interrupted. I had somebody out in a parking lot the other day come in and tell me, Pastor, do you know, you're talking on the phone, I can hear you on my cell phone out in a parking lot. And I wasn't even on a cell phone, I was on a landline.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
This very landline that we're on right now. And
we have found
bugs. I kept hammering them and mailing them to the FBI and the CIA and everybody else. And now everything is done, you know, somewhere remotely. But, you know, I used to laugh about, quote, conspiracy theory people until those SUVs started tailing me all over town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had some experiences myself, including the black helicopter irradiating me and
all
kinds of stuff. Yeah, oh, yeah. And, you know, you just kind of have to feel sorry for them because they don't realize that their bosses don't give a hoot about them. Their bosses would just burn them as quick as anything else, and especially
they're
if they know something.
Taking orders.
Yeah, and so you just, you know, you kind of have to feel sorry for them because they're so duped.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the sad thing about it is that the majority of our American public is completely blind to this. They're asleep, they want their beer and their Cheetos and their mindless shows. And they're happy, and they don't realize they're being brainwashed with the food, with the TV, with the radio. I mean, all kinds of things are happening. And, you know, if you talked much to the guys that own this radio station, you would know that they have been taken down so many times and just bizarre stuff that absolutely could not happen, and it happened. You know, and like all their servers going down at once, and just crazy stuff, you know. And you just kind of have to laugh at some point because you know you're being sabotaged. You know these people are trying to interfere with you because they don't want the truth to get out there. And, you know, there are people like you, Mark, and your mom, and the pastor, and myself, and the attorneys, and all these people that you guys are going to have at the...
Yeah, well, I was talking earlier yesterday to the media about how the government cover up things so well. Like when the whole Columbine shooting happened... we know for a fact that those two kids killed themselves. We know through eyewitnesses in the room who saw themselves shoot themselves. But the government came in saying that they're the ones that took the two kids out just so that they can protect themselves in front of the media. Because then they would have the media blaming them, oh, this is your fault, this happened. You didn't respond fast enough. And we know for a fact these kids killed themselves, but the government lies so well just to play politics. Just so that they can save their own butts. And, like...
Very evil.
Like,
it's such an evil thing. And you know what? All of us have to stand up and say, no more. We all have to get to that point where we go, you know what? Stop playing this game. I refuse to play anymore.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, it just continues. And there are so many people out there that are so afraid. And, you know, more people are waking up. The question is it enough?
Yeah.
There are enough people who are going to take the steps that are required. You know, you're going around and you're educating people as to what really happened. And you know, to reach out to that source, to that prime creator of all of us, and to trust in that. And you know how many people out there don't have that anymore? It's been brainwashed out of them by all these programs. And you know, the FDA and Big Pharma and the AMA and the... the hospitals, I mean, the food industry, everybody is so crooked. Well, not everybody, but there are some good people in there that just don't understand. But, you know, the guys at the top, it's all about making more money. It's all about, you know, getting rid of people and not caring about that. All they want is your money.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable.
Oh,
and
everything
children,
is about money, government. Everything
yeah.
is about money.
It's totally.
So
and
it's a billion-dollar industry. The prisons are a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
You know, they get paid to throw people in jail, and so they'll make up anything that they can to do that. Like, you know, I mean, they're providing for the economy. They got prison guards. Those guys make a living because they go back, they provide for their families. You know, they're making money off this stuff. And so they, you know, can just make up whatever they want and have somebody thrown in jail, you know.
You know, I read someplace, I think it was about 20 years ago, they said there are enough archaic laws on the books that every single person in the U.S. could be jailed right now on at least 10 of those laws and never come out of prison. Because we're breaking them all the time and we have no idea they're even there.
Right.
So that's kind of scary stuff, you know. And then you look at all the things, you know, they don't tell you those things because they've already got you mind controlled, you know, with the TV, with the drugs, with the additives in the food.
They're saying on the Food Network that the pharmaceutical companies are putting the same chemical that we find in antidepressants in desserts now.
They're putting it in what?
Putting it in desserts. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I recall several years ago when I was in med school, my roommate and I decided we were going to go to the grocery store, and we thought, you know, we just would like a chocolate cake. And so we go to the bakery, and we pick it up, and we're reading the label. And amongst the things on there were propylene glycol and a bunch of other things.
Okay. There you go.
And, you know, that causes deep down tissue death, and it's industrial antifreeze.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous, and they're putting that on there as a glaze because it's sweet, and that's the stuff that kills animals, you know. They go and they lick it, you know, when you flush your radiator. Well, that's ethylene glycol, but, you know, they lick that stuff up, and it kills them. And so here they are putting it in our food and thinking that's okay. And they do it because it drives down deep into your cells, deep into those tissues, and it causes a deep-down dehydration and death.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just one of the things we know about. There's the excitotoxins, you know, there's the MSG, which has many, many different names.
Yeah.
There's the aspartame, which is actually formaldehyde as soon as it gets heated up.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
There's all these kinds of things. And then there's things that we have no idea what they're putting in because it's proprietary and they don't have to tell us.
So many things. It's like, well, and also in the Bible says, you know, the sin begins in the heart. And so, you know, people have been killing people for years and years and years, you know.
Yep.
And so, but anyways, would you like to say hi to my mom?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mom.
What is she doing?
Mom.
She probably figured she wasn't going to get a word in edgewise there.
just finish talking. Talk about your book. I'm
set
up right now. Tell her what happened. I'm in business.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Mark.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Go ahead. So tell people about your book and also about the rally if you want to, or you can put the pastor back on to talk about the rally.
Pastor, would you like to talk about the rally going on? Where'd he go?
They left you? All right, so tell us about your book, Mark.
The book is I Asked, God Answered, Columbine Miracle. And it's just about healing and forgiveness and loving your enemies. It talks about my experience, what I went through. It's got some Bible scriptures in it. It talks about my FDA hearings when I went to testify at the FDA. And I was with Dr. Tracy when that whole thing happened. And based on what we did, they changed the laws at the FDA that everybody would have to, the pharmaceutical companies would have to put the highest level of warnings on the drugs, which is a black box label warning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but
Well, you realize, you know, that most doctors that prescribe that stuff are really not knowledgeable about the drugs. And I'm not saying all of them, so all you guys out there that do know what you're doing, well, if you're prescribing them, you really don't know what you're doing, so let me just say that. But you know, there's so many there that have no clue, and the pharmacists in our state are actually trying to get it so that the doctors are not allowed to prescribe anymore because they've screwed up so many times and combined things that shouldn't be combined. And the nurses are probably like that too, because the nurses actually know, you know, how to do this stuff much better. But, you know, everything you put into your body, every chemical is going to have a reaction. And you're putting these synthetic chemicals in. My God, you know, people, if your kids are on these drugs, you better find another way is all I can say, you know. And, you know, go to somebody that knows about natural medicines and really understands the effect that you're getting in the brain with these drugs, because it will change your children. It will change you. It will make you into something that you don't recognize.
Yeah.
And that's really a sin. That's horrible, horrible, evil stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, I've seen enough crazy people, you know, and if you're wondering what I'm talking about, people, you know, I've got over 30 years as an RN in ER and ICU before I went to med school.
Yeah.
So I can tell you that I've seen plenty of crazy people, and I've seen plenty of people who did not need to be on these drugs.
Yeah.
I've seen the harm that they cause, especially children. My God. You know, I had to quit treating children in my practice because parents wouldn't be parents. But they put these kids on these drugs. They become little zombies. They get purple circles under their eyes, all because they want them to sit like little robots in class, when in fact the problem is the food additives and the sugar in the food that they're consuming. And you take them off all that stuff, and the kids are quiet. They're normal little kids. They're not behavior problems. They sleep well. They're healthy. And what happens, 9 times out of 10, is parents say, well, you know what, I'm tired of fighting about this. And I look at them and I say, who's the parent here? You know, who's buying the food?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand it's very difficult for a lot of parents, but boy, you know, you guys, you got to start reading the labels and finding out about this stuff, because you're getting poison every day.
Yeah.
So unless you're getting organic food, unless you're growing your own food in many cases, and even then you're not safe because of the chemtrails, you know, you're looking at things that are going to get worse. And, you know, Mark, I know that you've talked with Dr. Bell about, you know, the coming problem with all these kids being on these drugs.
Yeah.
And that it could get real worse real quick.
Yeah.
It's already gotten worse quick.
There's 157 million people on these drugs.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah.
That was in 2004. It's got to have doubled by now. The next step is to get everybody on these mandatorily. You'll be forced to take them. And if you don't take them, you'll get injections. Okay?
Well,
it's called teen screening.
Yeah, don't let this happen, people. Listeners, please, please.
Well, we need support. We have been in the front lines and lost everything we owned. Mark has spent over $100,000 5 years on the road. And I'm going to tell you, we're needing to move Mark's book. We are absolutely homeless right now. And I want to put Pastor Drake on so he can give you the details on the seminar that we're having here out in California.
Yeah, this is Pastor Drake, and I've been running a homeless shelter here in Buena Park for almost 20 years now. And I first met Donna and Mark about 6 years ago on the phone, and they kept having problems with the pastor and would call me instead. And I've been sort of their pastor afar. And they literally are now here in our homeless shelter. And so this is where this, not only the killing at Columbine, but all of this other things have gotten them, and so they're here. We're going to be having on the 4th of July weekend, that June the 30th, a pro-American rally here in Buena Park, California, and Mark is the keynote speaker, and of course Donna, and some other folks from around the country. And so we just would encourage folks to pray for Mark and Donna here in California now, and they really need your prayers.
Yeah, and I would also suggest, listeners, that if you can spare even a buck, send it to them.
Yeah.
These people are on the front lines, and they are doing the best that they can to wake everybody up before it's too late.
Yeah.
You know, if you thought Nazi Germany was bad, just wait, and you won't have to wait too long. You know, they're already doing everything they can to take away our rights to self-medicate with natural medicines. That's the Codex Alimentarius. And, I mean, you know, everybody thinks, well, you know, I can afford this. And I just kind of sit back and go, really? Can you afford taking a half a day off, go sit in the doctor's office and, you know, pay $120 to be able to get a prescription for 60 milligrams of vitamin C when you really need, like, 6,000?
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly where it's going, and that's why Donna and Mark have at least still a what I would call a public platform to fight this battle. And we're a small church here in California and could not afford to help them financially, but we brought them in here, and they're living at our church now, so we at least are providing for their basic necessities, i.e. food and a place to sleep and, of course, a place to go to church. But any of your listening audience, they would certainly appreciate anything they could do to help, and no small amount is too small. They are basically homeless, you know, have absolutely no money, no income, and so we would encourage you to pray for them and then put feet to your prayers and make a donation to them if you can.
Yeah, even a dollar.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Why don't you give the address of where to send that, Pastor Drake?
Okay, the best way is just to send it to First Southern Baptist Church, and they live here, and the address is 6801 Western Avenue in the city of Buena Park. That's Buena, B as in boy, Buena Park, California, 90621. That is their mailing address. That is our church address. And anything that's mailed, of course, is tax deductible because we are a church. And anything that you send, make sure you designate it with the name Taylor on it. And everything that comes in with that designation will go directly to them. We don't take anything out. You can just, if you want to make out a check, make the check out to Mark Taylor. If you want to send cash, send it to the church. But be sure you designate it so we'll know that it's an offering for them.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And also, if they want to attend the rally, is there a fee for that, Pastor?
Well, we are going to charge $5 for that pro-American rally, but that includes lunch. So we're just sort of giving it away, basically, but we're just sort of trying to cover the cost of our lunch. We'll have Mark and Donna speaking. David Jackson, who is a twice Vietnam vet, was blind for 5 months. He's now an attorney general for two of the Native American nations. I'll be speaking, sharing around the subject of Jesus, politics, and the local church. Ron Branson will be one of the speakers who is going to be talking about jail, J-A-I-L. That's Judicial Accountability for Judicial Accountability Initiative Law. And Doug Millar, who's a 15-year investigator of violent crimes against children. And there'll be other speakers. And we encourage any of your listeners that are in this, what I would call a movement, in this Save America movement, if you'd like to be a speaker at this, we're going to be here all day. It'll start about 9 in the morning and go to 11 at night, and we'd love to have others come and share with us as well.
Yep, and I'll be there also, people, speaking about spiritual sovereignty.
All right.
And it's kind of a kick-butt speech.
Yeah, well, we like that kind.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm known for, so I'll be going there and waking up as many people as I can. And I would encourage you, listeners, if you can't attend or if you can't stand up and do something, at least send a couple bucks to these people. You know, they're doing everything they can to save the rest of us. You know, and if you knew even a quarter of what I know,
and interestingly enough, again, I appreciate very much you making that appeal. And, you know, just like today, for example, Donna is having some real issues with some skin. We're not sure whether they were some bites she received, but she went to the doctor and they gave her a prescription. We were able to get one of our local doctors in the hospital to see her because she has no insurance at no cost, but they have no control over the prescriptions, and so you know, we're trying to, right here, even on a local basis, raise enough money to get her prescription for her. So it's really tough. They're fighting the fight, and anything you can do to give folks, give.
We're not done.
Yeah, and I really hope that that helps you guys, because I know how difficult it's been for you. And
I have my ex-husband that divorced me is on the antidepressants, and I just quiver when I hear him on the phone. I'm real concerned about his life and his grandchildren and his children that he goes around, the way he talks. And so these drugs aren't over in my life either. It wasn't just Columbine, then it was myself. Now it's my family. My sister-in-laws are all on them, constantly trying to commit suicide. It's not even over. One after another, it hasn't stopped. We must do something about it. We must.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've been watching this stuff since Prozac came out, and I watched that idiot doctor that thought that Prozac should be put in the water supply. Well, now it is in the water supply, so guess what? Everybody gets medicated. And,
yeah.
I mean, that's one reason I moved to Sedona.
What's sad about it is there's no more marriages anymore. There wasn't anyway.
Yeah.
It was real low. It was bad before, but nothing like it is now. You're looking at, 70% in Colorado divorced now. 70%. I wonder what it is out in California and everywhere else. The divorce rate is so high. Our families are falling apart. Is this what we want? Do we want pain? Or do we want to do something about it so we don't have the pain?
Well, that's the thing, is getting everybody to stand up and do something about it.
Yes.
And, you know how it is. You know, everybody wants to sit back and somebody else do it, and they get overwhelmed. And
sister, I got to share something with you. We need to pray right now for David Jackson. And he so much wants to come out here, and he also needs finances to get here.
He's planning on coming out and speaking.
So anybody wants to help him out also, he can help people eliminate their mortgages, you know.
He's a real interesting guy. He's an attorney who really knows the law, where everything is concerned with the money question. And, you know, most people who know a little bit about sovereignty realize that there is no such thing as money on the planet. The green stuff has nothing to support it. And you don't own your land in America unless you pay gold coin or silver coin for it. I mean, there's all kinds of fraudulent stuff that's being done against us. And, you know, I'm not going to go into all that stuff, because that's the bailiwick of attorneys and such that understand these things. But you know, you're being duped, people. You know, we've all had the wool pulled over our eyes for our entire lifetimes. This is all a plan that's been coming along for centuries now, maybe more than centuries.
We want him to come, but so many people haven't paid him for the job he's done. He's gotten house, a lot of their titles done on their homes, but they haven't paid him completely yet for doing that. So he needs money to get to California, and I think it would be really awesome if someone out there could even supply that. That would be an open door for us to have money, because he will help us, Mark and my son. You know, as we give people that need their homes unmortgaged, we get a percentage for helping him. That's another income that can help us with our drug issue. So you see, there's many things that are happening, you know, we have to do in different areas.
Yeah, and the thing is, we all have to kind of band together.
Yeah.
We have to be able to stand up and do what's our part to do.
Absolutely.
And, you know, people get overwhelmed.
People that have motorhomes, they don't use their motorhomes. They want to donate it here, you know. They have cars that they got too many cars. They want to eliminate because they don't have the cash. You know, trade.
Yeah.
Do a trade thing.
Yeah.
You have to. I mean, it looks that way to me, because David was so upset today. He's done so many radio titles on homes, and somehow the people weren't able to borrow back on it to pay him. And it's just, you know.
Wow.
Sad. And from now on, he can't do that anymore, you see, because now he's having a hard time getting out here to speak.
Boy.
So until that cash flow comes through. But I encourage anybody out there that has a loan, commercial or residential loan, that wants to get rid of it, to come to our seminar or call us. here at the church, we can give you his name. And so a certain percentage he will donate back to the church and help Mark and I. So,
you know, so there's a lot of avenues.
A lot of things we can do to help each other.
And, I mean, even if they just mailed you $1.
Absolutely.
$1.
That's right, or a quarter.
Anything, yeah.
Yes, we appreciate everything. We know what it's like. Thanks.
And, you know, so many times people are always afraid, oh, I wouldn't want to send cash in the mail or anything like that. And that's just absolutely ridiculous. It's as safe as a check, you know, because nobody knows, you know, obviously put it in a piece of paper, send a buck, send $5, $10, whatever, and just mark on the envelope, Taylor, Mark Taylor, and we'll make sure that they get it. And we're helping them every way we can. We're providing a place for them to stay and food and clothing and whatever we can. And I would encourage all of your listeners, if you're anywhere near Buena Park, California, which is the Los Angeles area, we would love to have you here on June the 30th, that's Saturday, and we'll be here all day. We'll have a patriotic, pro-America, pro-family kind of rally and have all these different kind of speakers where people can come and learn the truth. They can come and learn the truth about, you know, someone called me up the other day and said, well, they thought, well, my goodness, if this kid, Mark Taylor, was shot at Columbine, he's probably a millionaire now. Yeah, nothing could be farther from the truth. And so we would encourage any of you that would like to come. It'll be Saturday, June the 30th, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We'll be here all day. We'll have music and good speakers and fellowship and an opportunity to order one of Mark's books. Mark's book says, I Ask, God Answered, a Columbine Miracle. And indeed, he is a Columbine Miracle. So we would encourage you to come and hear him speak and Donna speak and all the other speakers on that day and fellowship with us on that weekend called the 4th of July weekend.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Drake, and thank you so much, Mark and Donna, for all of the work that you've done. And I've spoken with David Jackson. He is an amazing guy and such a sweetheart and cares so much about everyone and their safety and their sovereignty.
Amen.
So again, listeners, if you can help at all, please do. And if you have any questions about where to send any of this, just drop me an email, and I'll be happy to send you in the right direction. So thank you guys for being on the show. And
thank you for helping. And if anyone would like to send me an email or Donna them an email, they can send it to my email, which is Wiley, W-I-L-E-Y-D-R-A-K-E, Wiley Drake, at hotmail.com. I read my emails every day, and I'll make sure they get that email, whether it's just a good word you want to give them or a prayer request or praise report, whatever you'd like to do. And then early in the morning, if any of you would like to come on the line and talk with Donna and Mark, we do a prayer conference call nationwide. And if it's okay, I'll give out that number.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. The nationwide prayer meeting is what I call telephonic prayer meeting. It's at 5 o'clock in the morning, California time. Now, that's 5 a.m. California time, and, of course, you have to figure it out in your own time zone. That's, of course, 8 o'clock in Washington and Virginia, and we have people coming in from Virginia, from Washington, from Texas, and we even have a gentleman coming in from the Gaza Strip yesterday. A pastor at the Gaza City Baptist Church is on the prayer line with us, telling us about several families that had been wounded with what's going on over there as we spoke yesterday. So if you'd like to call and join that prayer meeting, you don't have to stay on for a long time. You can stay on 5 minutes or whatever, but we are on 1 hour at 5 a.m. California time. The number is 605-772-3900. And you call that number, and you'll be prompted to put in an access code. The access code is 399-430-pound. So if you call that, put in that access code, you indeed can be a part of that prayer. I encourage you to be involved in that.
All right, we're gonna get kicked off the air here any second. So thank you very much for that, and listeners, please do help.
Yeah. Listen, can I talk to you later? Everybody have a nice evening, and we're doing the best we can.
I'll call you in a few minutes.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody. And
good night.
As usual,
bye-bye.
Be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Thanks for tuning in.
Words to fill.